You're listening to a sermon from Heights Church, located in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more information on our church, please visit heightschurchmn.org.
Sits on the side of the hill and says, "Hey guys, you have built this whole religious thing in an effort to worship me. And here's the thing, not everything is right." And he sits down and he just says, "Here is what I want as God. This is what it means to worship me. And the things that you think are godly, the things that you think are what it means to be a follower, are actually these man-made systems. This measuring stick that you are forever using your life to try and measure up to all the things that have been put on you that you need to be." And Jesus comes and a lot of times we call it the great reverse. And he just takes everything and he flips it upside down. And he says, "What you thought this, but I say this. You have been taught this, but I say this." And God comes in and he just twists the puzzle piece just right so that it finally fits. Because he knows the heart of the people are in worship. And so last week we talked about, they were praying in front of people in order to get the credit for praying, because everything was a measuring stick. It was, I have to be good enough to be considered good enough to be on the in. And the whole thing about the religious culture at that time was, it was who was in and who was out. It was us versus them. It was me, I am godly, you are not. And this chapter is the sum up. It was funny because I was reading a bunch of different commentaries, and most commentators are like, "Oh, this is kind of an add-on, tag-in-line thing when you start talking about judging." And the thing is, it's not. It's a continuation of what Jesus is saying. He's saying, here's the thing. You have been told your whole life that you have to do this, be this, do this, be this, do this, be this. And when you are these things, then you get to fit. And anybody who doesn't do the things just right, not only do they not fit, but then you are justified in judging them. And the term judging in this context is a legal term. So when you think about when you go before a judge, let's say you've committed a crime, right? And you're before a judge. When a judge brings down his judgment upon you, he is going to punish you for the things that you have done wrong, right? If you send someone to jail, jail is not fun, right? When people go to jail, their rights are removed. They don't get to go outside when they want. They don't get to eat what they want. They don't get to do all of the things that normal people get to do in their freedom. When you are judged and punished, treating you in a way that you would never treat another person becomes okay because you have earned that punishment. And when we judge in this term, we stop looking at a person like we look at ourselves. We stop giving them the rights of a human being the way that we give ourselves those rights, right? And so it says, don't judge, or you will be judged. So don't put people into the category of, you're such a screw-up, you don't even deserve blah, 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 blah. Or you're a bad person, so you deserve this, this, and this. Because, guess what? We all deserve this, this, and this. Every single one of us, if we stood before God, none of us are blameless. Not a one of us could say, my hands are clean. Every single one of us stands before God and begs that he would see us with the mercy that we don't deserve. And we need then to realize that when we see our brothers and our sisters, no matter who they are, across the world, we need to see them with the same level of mercy that we hope that they see us. That is the whole point of this. The whole point is not that you can never believe that anything is wrong. You can never have a sense of right and wrong in life. You can never know. You don't get to see people as not deserving the humanity, the mercy, the compassion that you yourself have taken. And so he starts there. He says, don't judge, or you're going to be judged. Don't go around looking for specs. Back in the day, in this context, religiosity was basically walking around being eye surgeons. They were looking for people who were messed up to tell them, you're messed up, and here's why you fall short of the kingdom of heaven, and here is why you stink. And so I'm going to come and I'm going to take out that thing in your life. I'm going to point out every time that you are not of God. And all the while, they're smacking people. Jesus is actually, it's funny, this is actually Middle Eastern humor. Like, at the time, the crowd would have been rolling. The idea of, like, this gigantic, like, beam from the ceiling sticking out of your eye as you're trying to do eye surgery on somebody else. He's like, do you get that this entire system that you have created, where you pray not to me, but you pray to be seen. And you fast, not for me, but you fast to be seen. And you walk around talking about how bad everybody else is instead of internalizing the compassion and mercy and love that I have bestowed upon you. Do you understand that that is the equivalent of you smacking somebody with your own unrighteousness as it comes out of your eyes? Jesus is telling a joke, except for it's not as funny when it's you. Yeah? He's using humor just to get that point through. And then he goes, don't throw to the dogs what is sacred. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't take this human, beautiful, amazing person that I have created you to be. Don't take your call, your anointing, your identity as who you are in me and throw it before the feet of the system. Do not cast your pearls before swine. Do not sell what is sacred to this system. Instead, ask, seek, knock. If you will take yourself out of the I have to be as good as everybody else or better, the better I am, the worse they look, and then the better I look, and it's a cycle. If I take myself out of that system, and instead I ask, and I seek, and I knock. And this throws back to last week when we talked about the Lord's Prayer. God, what's your will? God, I want your kingdom, not my kingdom. God, I want your name to be set apart. I want the fact that I serve I am to make anything possible. Seek him. Fall in love with him. Make his kingdom, his character, who he is, his mercy, his compassion, his love, that pours itself out at his expense. Make that who we are. Instead of lifting ourselves, we lift our brothers. And he says, if you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open. If you come after me, you're going to find me. If you open your heart to me, I'm going to fill you up. When I fill you up, I'm going to give you the power to forgive as you have been forgiven. I'm going to give you the power to show mercy as mercy has been shown to you, because that is the opposite of who we are in people. Who we are as people is this whole judging thing. But I'm going to give you the power to see people the way that I see people. I love Grace's songs today. I break my heart for what breaks yours. Don't make me stuck on what's best for me. What makes me safe and secure and unafraid. God, push me out of my comfort zone and break my heart for the things that break your heart. And then he follows that, because that's kind of scary. He follows that with, if your kids ask you for bread, are you going to give them a rock? And go, ha ha, it looks like bread. Woo-hoo. Dad, can I have some fish? Here, have a poisonous snake. Ha ha ha. Nobody does that. Again, with the Middle Eastern humor, Jesus is being funny here, okay? He's like, do you understand that if you walk away from this whole crazy system that is so set on building yourself up and protecting you and making yourself great, and you will allow yourself to fall in line with who I am, to be nothing, so that others can be blessed, so that others can know, I'm not going to hand you a poisonous viper. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to be part of the system. You don't have to be all these things. I'm going to be your defense. I'm not going to hand you a poisonous snake when you ask for my spirit. I am going to be with you. And when I am with you, you can face anything. It all flows.
So where does he go next?
In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the sum up. He says it, he explains it, he says it again. Don't see people by the way that you fear them. Don't see people by the way that you believe them to be evil. See them the way you want them to see you as a person. Treat them the way that you want them to treat you as a person. When you see someone suffer, think about, how would I feel if that was me? How would I feel if that was my kid? How would I feel if I was in their shoes? And then you act the way that you would want them to act towards you. Super simple. It is kingdom. And you know what? When you do it, God blesses it. God protects you, and he works through it. And people know him because of it. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. There are few who find it. He's talking to the religious leaders of the day. They had built a whole system. They had a whole nation. And that nation, doing all the things that they were supposed to do to be the good people that they were supposed to be, all thought that they were going to the place they were going. Jesus is saying, listen. You want to come, you got to follow me. And my gate doesn't look like this gate. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. Those are the things that we follow. Those are the things that we seek. Those are the things that we praise. We chase the things of God. Just because someone says that they know what is good, we have to watch what comes from them to know what is truly good. Now, luckily, we started with, we don't judge, right? So no matter what comes at anybody, we're not going to go with their evil and hate them. But we are going to be discerning. See, in this time, the Pharisees had set themselves up as the end-all be-all of all that was good and true. You could not question what they said. You could not question what they did. When they didn't take care of their parents, when they set up laws and didn't follow them, when they did things that people knew were not of God, and they questioned it, there was a backlash within that community that said, you can't question them, they're God's people. And Jesus just spent this whole time questioning God's people. And he goes, you will know them by their fruit. When your leaders are telling you that they are bringing you God's will, it needs to look like God. And we will discern in everything. We will discern in our church. We will discern in our things that we read. We will discern in the things that we put into our hearts, what looks like God and what does not. Because we know by the fruit whether it is Christ. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Again, this is actually kind of, it's a burn. It's a Middle Eastern humor burn. You who practice lawlessness. You know who he's talking to, though? He's talking to people who are slaves of the law at that moment. He's talking to the Pharisees of the time who used the law as a weapon against the people. He's talking to people who are so obsessed with law that they have lost their heart to chase God. They pray so that people see them. They use the law to say, you're out and I'm in. They use it to measure themselves as better than everybody else. They use it to justify treating people poorly. And he goes, you didn't know me. You thought that you had measured up this whole time because you were in a system that had nothing to do with my heart. And he says, you didn't know me. We gotta know the heart of the God that we serve. We have to chase that heart with everything that we are. We have to measure all the things that we have allegiance to and say, are they the things of Christ? Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. It's right back to the ask, seek, knock. Guess what? Winds are going to come. You're building a house. You're not living in a bubble. Winds are going to come. Stuff is going to happen. You will never build a perfectly safe house. So what are you building it on? Are you building it on your own thoughts? Are you building it on this system of all these things that you think are going to keep you safe? Are you building it on the rock of Jesus? the great reverse, that you give so that you get, that you make yourself nothing so that he elevates you, that you do not, you lay down your life for somebody else, and then God himself raises. It was in death that Jesus saved the world. It's the great reverse. And so what are you building? What are you building on? What are you trapped in? Is it a system that you will never, ever, ever, ever measure up to? Or is it the place where you can be? You are God's creation, and he would rather die than live without you. And that's true of every human being on this planet that he created. He would rather die than live without them. What system are we building? Let's pray. God, I thank you that in you there is no fear. God, in you there is no worry. In you there is nothing but completeness. God, you fill every gap within us. God, you fulfill that hole in our heart that nothing else satisfies. God, when we will chase you, all things are laid at our feet. God, you are our source. You are our peace. God, you are. Because I am. We know that everything that comes from the hand of I am is what is best. And Lord God, we just want to chase that. God, we want to chase that as a church. God, we want to chase that as people. God, we want to lay at your feet all of our riches. God, all of the things that we've invested in, all of the things that we pour our lives out to, God, we lay them at your feet. And God, we just say, sift. God, choose what is you. And Lord, we will turn our backs on that which is not. Because God, we just want you. God, we're so hungry for you in this place. God, we're hungry for you in the lives of the people that are suffering right now around our world. God, we're hungry for you. We're hungry for you. God, I just pray that as we chase you, the things of this world would grow dim. Lord, and you would fill our vision. And God, you would give us eyes to see as you see, and a heart that beats as your heart beats. And God, that we would be light. God, we would be salt. God, we would be that which draws every person who doesn't know you to you. God, that we would not be in the business of doing eye surgery on the faults of others. God, but that we would draw people with the light of your love that shines through us to the nations.